Good morning. You're listening to WTUL New Orleans, and thank you very much, Scott, for that lovely introduction to the show this morning. So I'll be doing an interview with Scott and guests a little bit, in a little bit. But before that, I want to let you know what's happening on the music calendar tonight, if you're looking for something to listen to or maybe you want to catch a film. Here's what's happening around town. At the Preservation Hall, at 6 p.m., there's an early show, the Preservation Hall Legacy Band with Wendell Brunius. And at 8, 9, and 10, the Pres Hall Brass with Daniel Farrow. At the Historic New Orleans Collection, at 6, concerts in the courtyard, the Colin Lake Band. At Hi-Ho Lounge at 6 p.m. is Valerie Sassifras. At Circle Bar at 10, Tough Loves and Liquor and Lies and Evil Engines. Also, happy hour from 6 to 9 with Richard Bates. At Siberia at 6, Hondo Biondo. That's classic country with DJs Robin Rubbermaid and Matty. And at 9 at Siberia, Little Freddie King. At the House of Blues at 8 is NOFX. At 11 p.m. at the House of Blues, The Tipping Point featuring DJs RQOA. At Tipitina's at 10 p.m., Government Magic and Pirate's Choice. At the Republic tonight at 9 is Winter Circle Productions presents Pusha T and Darkest Before Dawn Tour. At One Eye Jack's at 9 is Flesh Art Show. At the Howling Wolf at 10, Seosin with Anthony Green and Limbs and Young and Heartless. At Southport Hall at 8 p.m., Drowning Pool and Cerebral Drama Trick Bag. At Tibois Blues Fest in La Rose, Louisiana, I hope I'm pronouncing Tibois properly. The festival features artists including Honey Island Swamp Band, Lost Bayou Ramblers, Sister Sparrow and the Dirty Birds, and Anders Osborne. At Twist of Lime tonight at 9 is Brick Floyd. And unfortunately, that's been postponed. So at Twist of Lime tonight, Brick Floyd is postponed. Snug Harbor, 8 and 10 p.m., L.S. Marcellus Quintet. And at Britannia Theater, if you want to catch a film, they're showing The Lady in the Van, Carol and the Witch. You can call 891-2787 for showtimes. At the Broad Street Theater, they're showing The Revenant Mustang Whiskey Tango Foxtrot Embrace of the Serpent Laser Team. And that's Broad Street Theater, so you can also call them for showtimes. Unfortunately, I don't have a number, but you can call me at the station. I can find it for you if you need me to. At Zeitgeist tonight, they're showing Trapped at 5:30. And Durant's Never Closes at 7:30 p.m. For showtimes, call 352-1150. And at the University of New Orleans Performing Arts Center tonight at 8, Southern Repertory Theater presents Orpheus Descending by Tennessee Williams. And you can call the Southern Repertory box office at 522-6545 for more information about that. And there's some things happening tonight around town regarding issues of criminal injustice. On the NOLA 2 Angola newsletter, which, by the way, you can also access on our WTUL News and Views Facebook page. Today, Race Forward is pleased to offer their Racial Justice Leadership Institute in New Orleans. After two positive receptions in the past, they scheduled a date today so that others would be able to engage in the day-long educational opportunity. So today, they want to make sure everyone's aware and has the chance to join them. Scholarships and discounts are not available because it's past due, but it's open to the public, and you can call me here to learn more information about that. The number for the studio is 504-865-5885. Also, there's a legal observer training for police monitoring. If you're already trained and would like a refresher, you can join them today at the Legal Observer Training from 12 to 1:30 at Loyola University College of Law at 526 Pine Street. And CLE credit is available. They will be serving a light lunch. Also, there's a film screening, Comrade Sister, at 5:30 p.m. at Ashe Cultural Center. And for that, you can call 504-569-9070. In the film, you'll see interviews of Lynn French, Erica Huggins, Madeline Rucker, and more as they describe their own experience as members of the Black Panther Party. And Say Her Name, the workshop, from 3 to 5 p.m. at Xavier University in Xavier South Building Room 201, building number 40. You can join Xavier faculty member and performance activist artist Dr. Kimberly J. Chandler for an exciting educational interactive workshop. You can learn the artistic techniques Dr. Chandler has used to create her one-woman show, Confessions of an Ex-Superwoman, premiering in New Orleans, September 2016. There's a few topics that Dr. Chandler will cover, and that would be mostly issues regarding to Black Girl Magic, Black Lives Matter, Say Her Name, Black Futures, and performance art as advocacy. So there's only 15 spaces available. If you want to go, contact Dr. Chandler at kchandler@xula.edu. Tomorrow, there's a free Cornerstone bus to Rayburn Correctional Center. Reservations are made on a first-come, first-served basis. To reserve a seat on the bus, you can call 504-324-4432. And if no one answers, please leave your name and callback number. The bus departs from Servants Heart Outreach Center at 1425 Walkertown Way, Marrero. Passengers are asked to board the bus at 7:45 and be prepared to leave at 1 p.m. And there's also tomorrow Red Umbrella March. You can join them to march to raise awareness and education around HIV/AIDS in the New Orleans African American community through song and dance. Councilwoman Nadine Ramsey is the Grand Marshal. Gina Marie Brown is also joining her. And Honorary Grand Marshal, according to recent statistics, in Louisiana, 72% of new HIV cases are African American and 75% of new AIDS cases are African American. So if you want to find out more about the march, contact Michael Hickerson, who's the chair at ittnola@aol.com. And for more information, there's a Facebook page. It will be 10 a.m. at the Trumé Center, 900 North Villery. Breakout and other groups will be tabling. And on Sunday, Jewish Voice for Peace, chapter meeting 5 to 7 at First Grace UMC, 3401 Canal Street. And they are going to be deepening their knowledge about Jewish ritual and that sort of stuff. So you can check that out on Sunday, and there will also be food. And that's about it for that's a lot actually to do. And you can, if you missed any of that, you can always go to our Facebook WTUL News and Views page and access the NOLA to Angola newsletter from there. All right, so after all that said, we are pleased to have guests in the studio today, Scott Eustace. We're going to be interviewing who you got, Scott?
Jonathan Henderson from Vanishing Earth. We have a lot of events going on this weekend about land, water, and air in the Gulf of Mexico and the state of Louisiana. So up on the list there on the website I pulled up at indigena.com/lifelines.
Indigena.org/lifelines.
You can go and look and see all the talks that are happening this weekend. Talks which culminate in a march and demonstration this Wednesday, March 23rd, starting at Duncan Plaza, ending up at the Superdome for a call for a new lease on life for the Gulf of Mexico and the hiring of 1,000 industry workers to clean up a lot of the mess that we've got out in the Gulf. Jonathan, do you want to tell us more?
Yeah, sure. On March 23rd, there's been an action being planned for at least a couple of months now at the Superdome, which many in New Orleans remember as a terrible, tragic example of how unprepared this nation is to protect its most vulnerable citizens. You remember the images from the Superdome, the just lack of preparation and concern for people's health and well-being. So this location is symbolic because of that. But it's also happens to be the location where the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management, which is part of the Department of Interior, is auctioning off 43 million acres of the central and eastern planning units of the Gulf of Mexico to new offshore drilling. That's a huge problem. There's a direct connection between what happened in Katrina and the burning of fossil fuels that are extracted in the Gulf of Mexico. So we want to stay here. You know, you and I are both from New Orleans, and we know so many people from South Louisiana. We spend a lot of time, talking to, conversing with, and supporting communities all along the Gulf Coast. And, people are hanging on by a thread, and climate change is one of the biggest issues that we're facing. It's really a crisis. And the federal government has not taken it seriously enough. There's some momentum with some new policies by the Obama administration, but still the Gulf of Mexico continues to be the energy sacrifice zone for the rest of the country. And really what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico is affecting the entire planet. So I was privileged enough to be able to go to Paris for the climate talks this past December, and met just so many people from around the world who are really dealing with the immediate current impacts of climate change, and they're not causing the problem, we are. It's really important that we understand that not only are we impacting ourselves here in South Louisiana and along the Gulf Coast, but we're impacting communities all around the world, and it's really not fair. It's climate injustice, so we need to fix that. So that's what this action on March 23rd is. It's a direct stance against new offshore drilling in the Gulf of Mexico.
And then the action this is really, really important issue, obviously. And so this is the action to, I guess, bring awareness and attention to the world about what is happening with climate change and how activities in the Gulf of Mexico affect that. I know that this event has been promoted across the country, so it's not just New Orleanians who will be there. It will be, you've invited the entire country to this event, correct?
That's right.
And what is the actions are you looking at to come out of this action, as far as what can people do to help you, help us stop the flood of climate change, this incredibly civilization threatening situation that we're in right now?
The most important thing right now is for people to show up on March 23rd. And you're right, there are people coming from all over the country, some people coming from across the world. The purpose, the intent, the objective on March 23rd is to shut down this lease sale, period, point blank. But that's not the end of it. Spawning a deeper, more engaged movement here in the Gulf region. You hear about a lot of resistance in other parts of the country and other parts of the world. And there's been a lot of fights, against, climate change and against the fossil fuel industry. But here in the Gulf region, we've kind of been ignored in a sense that we don't have the numbers and the amount of people stepping up and coming out in the streets and really you know, taking a stand. And the oil and gas industry is king in this region, so that's a big part of it. But so we're going to change that. And this is part of a global movement. It's not just a part of the movement that's starting here in New Orleans, but it's a global movement to save the entire planet. And
well, they're Scott. Not precisely king. I mean, you yourself were there at the field hearing last year where you addressed the questions of Congressman Sanford from South Carolina, a Republican Tea Party congressman who was considering the question of whether or not to drill off the East Coast.
Right.
And you were there. Gulf Restoration Network has been there, the organization I work for, talking about the burdens that this industry, the economic burdens, the environmental burdens that this industry places on us. We have been fighting. We are winning in different regards. And I think now is the time when a lot of the people from the around the country are coming to join us in our fight after we've been able to convince the people on the East Coast that drilling is not in the economic interest. And in fact, you know, it's this week that because of actions of you and some of us working in the Gulf to highlight some of the damages that we still face after the Deepwater Horizon disaster, that there's not going to be drilling, at least in the Obama administration, off the East Coast of the United States. It's just, it costs too much. I mean, the Gulf Restoration Network for a long time has been struggling to maintain a moratorium on leases off the coast of Florida. And Republican, conservative, even congressmen from Florida don't want oil drilling off their coast because they see it damages the economy. Gulf Restoration Network in Mississippi has been able to stop, along with a lot of people in coastal Mississippi, to stop drilling off the coast of Mississippi. So even in coastal Mississippi, which, you know, I love Mississippi, but you don't think of Mississippi as like a big tourist destination. But even there, the state of Mississippi cannot make the economic numbers work to make the argument that drilling is economically productive for the Mississippi coast because it takes away tourism revenue. And so why not here? Why not here? And why not here where we have an industrial coast? We could be doing so much better. We could have a lot more employment in safety, in environmental compliance, but also clean energy. And I think when you look across the United States, the companies that are building offshore wind up in Rhode Island are companies out of Metairie. So, you know, why aren't we having any lease sales for offshore wind when that is a economic development in the Gulf of Mexico, an energy development in the Gulf of Mexico that's going to keep us here, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think we're heading there. And this action on the 23rd is you know, a sign that we're moving in the right direction for everything that you just described. You know, our work here on the ground documenting the impacts of the oil and gas industry on the Gulf of Mexico region is and has been a very, I think, invaluable example of what the Mid-Atlantic could expect if they were to open themselves up to that. And, you know, so in addition to, you know, providing that example, the unvarnished truth from, you know, from the community's perspective and from the environmentalist perspective, really, I think, went a long way into countering the oil and gas industry's perspective that's been proposing drilling in the Mid-Atlantic for a long time. Mm-hmm. And combined with a lot of the tremendous organizing that took place, that has been taking place in the Mid-Atlantic by some of the environmental groups there, it's just an example of what can be done. So, you know, Scott, you're absolutely right. I think the oil and gas industry is weakening their stranglehold. They still have complete control over our Louisiana state legislature.
Sure.
Our congressional delegation, most of which don't even acknowledge the fact that climate change is real.
Many of which are oil and gas executives.
That's right.
So that's a huge huge hurdle that we need to overcome. If you're just joining us, you're listening to WTUL New Orleans, 91.5 FM, and we are joined in the studio by Jonathan Henderson, who's here to talk about an event coming up tomorrow at the Superdome. What time does it start, Jonathan?
Well, yeah, so there's the event on March 23rd, but there's actually a lead-up of events that start tomorrow.
Okay.
So I can talk to you about those.
Please do. And Scott Eustace, of course, from Gulf Restoration Network, who our listeners are very familiar with because he normally hosts this show. Yeah. What is the lead up to events? And
Because we know that a lot of people are coming in town for the March 23rd action, and there's a lot of attention being focused, directed to the Gulf region right now. It just is really important that the stories of our communities that are being impacted, our frontline communities that have gone through so much, they need to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been working with an organization that has just been such a tremendous help, called Indigena, and it's INDIGENA.org. So Indigena, what they work with tribal elders and tribal indigenous communities all around the globe, but we have an extensive indigenous population here in South Louisiana, in Louisiana, all over really, I've known them for a while, and they wanted to help support us and understand the need that we need to have a way to lift up these community voices. So starting at the New Orleans Healing Center on St. Claude and St. Rock, as well as Cafe Istanbul, which is inside the New Orleans Healing Center, we have 4 days of programming, of panels, film screenings, workshops, that touch on a lot of the different issues that Gulf communities are facing. And then also at the Joy Theater on Monday evening, there is a film screening of Josh Fox's new film. Josh Fox is the filmmaker that did Gasland 1 and Gasland 2 about fracking. And so that's free, open to the public. People come out and see that film.
There's a famous clip from that film of a fellow who lights his tap water on fire to show that how gas, oil and gas, is contaminating our water, despite the protestations from oil and gas companies that it's not. That's my very favorite. My very favorite research study ever is the one that guy did. It's like, hey, I can light my tap wire on fire, so there you go. There's the evidence. But anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt, but yeah, go ahead.
No, it's okay. So the program that does start tomorrow is called Lifelines, a Community's Autobiography of Resistance and Renewal. And like I said, it's 4 days of programming. So what is going on is a convergence of people to really honor and protect, our natural resources, our communities, in the days leading up to this March 23rd action. There's been a lot of momentum around the country with new policies like Obama's Clean Power Plan. There's a moratorium on drilling in the Pacific. There's now this decision not to open up the Mid-Atlantic, and there's a ban on leasing of coal leasing on federal lands, and so all of these policies are very helpful to solve the climate to help mitigate against climate change. Yet one of the biggest sources of carbon pollution is the Gulf of Mexico, and so we've been kind of left out of that, and we're just left to deal with that. And so that is part of the messaging here is like, what does that mean? What does leaving the Gulf of Mexico open to drilling do to our communities here and we know that it impacts the rest of the planet. So starting on Saturday, we've got a really excellent panel with some of the youth that filed the lawsuit against the EPA. It's called the Atmospheric Trust Litigation. So some of those youth that were part of that litigation are going to be here. That afternoon, we have a...
And some of those youth are from Louisiana, as I understand.
That's right. Huh? That's so, right.
Indeed.
One of them is from Rain, Louisiana, the daughter of Sharif Wheatland, an activist that has been working really hard on trying to save South Louisiana. The afternoon on Saturday, we have a panel with General Honoré, who started the Green Army, as well as John Barry, who is a New York Times bestselling author who wrote an incredible book called Rising Tide. I actually had the privilege to take him on a flyover recently when the Mississippi River was flooding. That was really incredible to be able to see it firsthand with him, the guy who wrote the book on flooding Mississippi River. So he'll be there giving us an update on the lawsuit that was filed against the 97 oil, gas, and pipeline companies for damages that they did to Louisiana's wetlands. A lot of people think that lawsuit died, when Jindal was still in office and passed a retroactive bill that theoretically would have killed that lawsuit. But that lawsuit is very much still alive. It's now being decided by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeal. And so John will be here on Saturday to talk about that, as well as Andrew Jacoby, who is an environmental attorney and has just been really, really great in helping craft legislation, proactive legislation that is being filed in the upcoming legislative session. And so that panel is really important because it just shows that there is a resistance going on.
Yeah. And let's get back to this legislative session. So you were commenting earlier that our legislative delegation is made up mostly of climate change deniers and those who believe that economic growth, the only way forward, is through oil and gas jobs and that sort of thing. You mentioned that people will be sharing their stories. What kinds of stories can we expect to hear that need to be shared with legislators? Things going on, especially in the indigenous communities along the coastlines. What impacts has drilling in the Gulf had on and flooding and sea level rise had on indigenous communities, and what's being done about that?
Well, people are leaving or gone. I think legislatures should care because they're losing their districts. Jeff Landry, who's our AG
now. Pretty powerful.
We used to have 9 U.S. House districts in the state of Louisiana, but we've been losing so much population, we went down to 8. And Jeff Landry, who was a big climate denier when he was in the House, militated against climate legislation at the national level. He doesn't have a district anymore. He wasn't voted out. It's just that Louisiana lost population, so he lose district. So I do think, even though our legislature is very interesting here in New Orleans, we're always kind of outvoted. We got 15 votes in the 100 so votes in the legislature. We have so many things in New Orleans that run through the state. There are a lot of bad bills being put forward by oil and gas lobby. This session, mostly to do with undoing their liabilities. If you look at the bills that are filed by some of, like Senator Adley and some of the typical oil and gas guys in the LA legislature, it's a lot about letting the oil guys off the hook. They don't have to pay insurance. They don't have to repair their damages. And what this means is that there's going to be more pollution. And what that does is it makes people sick. It makes the waters unfishable. It drives down economic activity in other sectors. And you see that. People on the coast see that. That's the kind of thing that has led to the loss of our land in places like Terrebonne Parish, to the point where you have folks like the Ile de Jeune Charles Band that are planning to move, right? they're planning to leave, planning on leaving.
Yeah.
So I think what legislators do care when it affects the voters. And I think you've seen some other conservative members of the legislature care on the recent air pollution up River Road. When it affects people directly and affects their health, legislators can and will respond. So,
yeah, one community that will be discussed on Saturday is the community of St. Joseph, Louisiana, in Tensaw Parish, where they're having a drinking water crisis right now. Infants are being warned. Parents are being warned not to let their infants drink the tap water. This is really a largely an impoverished African American community, and it's just one of so many examples throughout the state where the fossil fuel and petrochemical industry has just made life toxic and hazardous to live, to eat the food, to drink the water, to breathe the air. Saturday happens to be St. Joseph's Day. So I know that this community is really desperate for help, and the Department of Health and Hospitals has not been helpful. DEQ has not been helpful. The media has not really, you know, done its job to lift up the voices of this community who are crying out for help. We're going to do what we can to, you know, shed the light on that. But you know, Île de Jean-Charles is a prime example of an indigenous community that is just being, you know, on the verge of being wiped off the map. And there are tribal communities from you know, all across South Louisiana that are frontline communities in the face of climate change. You know, the United Homa Nation is spread out all throughout South Louisiana. A lot of their members in St. Bernard Parish that are really struggling, and they're not just struggling with the impacts of more, you know, powerful hurricanes and sea level rise, but you know, when there's an oil disaster, then a lot of these people are fishermen and shrimpers and live off the land, so they get hit that way as well. The Ashtok
Atakapa Ishak, Grand Bayou people.
Yeah, the Grand Bayou people down in Plaquemines Parish is another tribe that's just really, fed up. So people forget that we have a lot of indigenous tribes down here in Louisiana that have just been, for a lack of better term, screwed over by this country for a very long time. So it's time to right those wrongs and mitigate as much damage as we can. Speaking of the oil and gas industry, you know, really trying to, you know, resolve themselves of all responsibility, on Sunday we have a panel that both Scott and I and Paul Orr from the Louisiana Environmental Action Network and the Lower Mississippi Riverkeeper will be on to talk about and enlist people to help us do the work in the field, watchdogging the oil and gas industry. And so this is not theoretical stuff. This is not letters to government officials. This is actually getting out with a camera, with sample jars, going out looking for pollution incidents because there's no shortage of them out there, and reporting them to, you know, Homeland Security, getting the Coast Guard to do investigations, documenting these spills, talking to the media, exposing, shining the light on just how destructive this industry is. So we regularly are either on boats or planes flying, you know, scouting out the Gulf of Mexico, but, you know, there's really not enough people that are doing this. Hmm. And the need is so great. So
yeah, I think people have this idea that the government is watching over the industry in the Gulf of Mexico. But we've seen the Government Accountability Office in D.C. recently came out against the Bureau of Safety and Environment Enforcement for not hiring enough staff. And the government generally has the idea that the industry is supposed to police themselves. And that is a terrible idea. And I think the result of that idea, that bad idea, is that, you know, people themselves are left to monitor their environment.
Right. If you want, yeah, if people need any kind of anything to connect that to, it's like the law enforcement policing themselves, or prosecutors policing themselves. Mm. And we've seen what kind of effects can result from that. And I really appreciate and like the idea of people being able to take control and test their own water, test their own soil, test their own air. And, you know, I'm sort of involved in issues dealing with mental health, and just came up with the drug opioid heroin crisis, that methadone is 28% of methadone is not absorbed into an organism when a person is taking methadone to get off of heroin, and it gets into the water system and is combining with other chemicals that's creating cancer. And so there's been water testing that shows that, and I think it just highlights how important it is to be aware of unintended consequences. Or, you know, I mean, some consequences are not intended, but
their
industry knows about, right? And we've seen that in the past with the lead industry, who knew, I mean, how many decades before about lead contamination and what it would do to human organisms, and continued to, you know, move forward with selling their products, even though they understood that it was going to cause incredible harm to people for profit. So a lot of what's happening obviously is for profit rather than rather than for health and human safety. And I would like to see, obviously, the health department should play more of a role in these sorts of issues. And even when I don't want to get in the criminal justice side of things, but I would like to see the health department sitting at the table with people who deal with criminal justice in terms of how prisoners are health is impacted and what we can do to mitigate against that.
Right. The health department for the Gulf is ideally BESSE, the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement. Mm-hmm. And they're not on the job. As a result of that, every time Jonathan with Vanishing Earth or myself with Gulf Restoration Network, or Paul with Lower Mississippi Riverkeeper, we go out and we find new spills. You know, if the industry were really taking care of itself, they'd be hiring guys to maintain these platforms.
Right. And that would be LDEQ as well, right? Department of Environmental Quality. There have also been a regulatory agency that hasn't performed the way that the regulatory agencies are meant to.
Right.
They really are. Is it because they're toothless, or is it because they really are just?
It's almost everything. I think the industry, though, has an obligation to comply with the law. And, you know, our government sometimes does a good job, sometimes doesn't. But in this case, for the offshore, every time we go out there, we find new incidents that have to be responded to. And what happens? We call it in. The company has to hire guys to go clean it up. We have this situation where we have thousands of these rust bucket rigs out there not being well maintained. The industry's not hiring enough people to maintain them for profit, like you said. Oil is low, so they're going to cut more people. So it's a situation where we have to say enough. No new leases until you fix all the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, not to mention the abandoned. You talk about rust bucket rigs, but we also have abandoned wells and abandoned rigs out there that the industry has just left. Right? Yeah. It's like, well, we're going to create this huge mess and leave it for somebody else to clean up. Well, who's going to clean it up?
Right. Who,
you know, I mean, I'm a little, you know, I don't know. I'm me with my meager little life. I don't have time to go out into the Gulf and clean up after these folks. They have all the money and all the wealth. They should be cleaning up after themselves. So, yeah. And they should be paying tax. Now, do they pay tax?
Do they pay tax?
You know, there's this huge, I mean, it's
a
lot of awareness now that they're subsidized, right?
Yeah.
So these corporations, a lot of big corporations, and talk about General Electric and some of these others that pay no tax at all. And you have, like, you know, Joe Blow, Joe Teacher, Joe Doctor, Joe Nurse, or whatever, who actually, you know, people that make minimum wage at, you know, sort of what's the word? I'm like low level jobs, entry level jobs, and so on, that actually pay more in tax than some of these huge corporations. So
that's what's happening in the legislature. It's what happened in the special session, is that the oil and gas lobby fought for the removal of their tax exemptions, but they were advocating for a higher sales tax on all of us to pay for the budget hole that Jindal left. They didn't want to increase their share at all, and they wanted us to pay for them. It includes all kinds of different subsidies, and all the bills they're filing include all these insurance write-downs, so they don't have to be bonded. And what that means is there is going to be no money if a well leaks. The company will go bankrupt, and the public will be left to deal with the consequences.
Yeah, and so, you know,
you're listening to WTUL New Orleans. This is Scott Eustace from the Gulf Restoration Network, and Jonathan Henderson is joining us in the studio today from Vanishing Earth, and you've been involved with environmental justice for years. But go ahead.
Yeah, well, I worked at the Gulf Restoration Network for almost 8 years until last fall when I launched Vanishing Earth. Scott and I have been in the trenches for a long time. I was just going to say that the oil and gas industry has captured our regulatory agencies in Louisiana. We both know some really good people that work in these departments, and they wish that they could be doing more. They really do honor and respect and appreciate the environment, but they are powerless and they do not have the resources that they need. And those budgets are getting slashed as well. But they don't make the decisions. And so not only are those agencies that are supposed to be protecting the environment actually being agents of the polluters themselves, they've also hijacked our democracy, right? And so, when the chairman of the Senate Natural Resources Committee is an oil and gas executive, you know, this is what we're faced with.
Who is that? The chairman of the Natural Resources Committee. We can look it up. And everything's changed after the new governor. There's been a lot of shuffling. So.
Every single environmental committee on the House and Senate side is controlled by the oil and gas industry. And we had hoped that after John Bel Edwards got elected as governor, that we would have a new power in the Senate and the House, new leadership that really has the ability to determine who those committee chairs are. But there was a lot of shenanigans that went on and instead of getting somebody who would have appointed more environmental, eco-friendly members of the legislature to these really, really powerful positions, the oil and gas industry, flex their muscle, and now we're left with these committees that are really problematic to get any of the legislation that needs to get passed. So that was my point, is that the Green Army has several pieces of legislation that
an army led by General Russell Honoré.
Right. Mm-hmm. Are vital, that can help, right some of these wrongs. But it can't be just a few people in this Green Army that are doing this. We need everybody to help. And this is going to be a fierce battle this legislative session. It always is. But, the fact that we've got proactive legislation, it gives me hope, and it instills motivation. It's just, for so long we haven't had enough of a concerted effort in the state at the state legislature from the environmental side, but that pendulum is swinging, but it's all hands on deck. So anybody who cares about clean air, clean water, clean land, soil, and food has to support what's happening in the legislature. And it couldn't be more critical. I mean, a few letters or phone calls to a state legislator on a committee could be enough to swing a vote in a committee that could get a bill pushed forward. And so
it's very close.
Yeah.
I mean, so this is like the panel on Saturday is going to be about this because right. Andy Jacoby, Russell Honoré are going to be on that panel discussing yeah. how the Green Army has had successes and failures in the legislature and how we need New Orleans to show up in the ways we need people in Louisiana to show up. So I think all that strategy is going to be on Saturday.
And yep. this is at the Healing Center.
At the Healing Center yep. on yep. St. Claude Avenue. And yep. then we'll be on Sunday afternoon.
Yep, on Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. And then on...
And this is all free and open to the public.
That's right.
By the way. Indeed. So anybody yep. can join. And also... find out about the bills that you're speaking about that need support. I imagine the Green Army has a list of those, so yep. folks can start getting their putting their armor on and getting their letters written and so on.
Yeah, and then on Monday we have a really cool panel at 12:30 called "It's Personal: Climate Injustice and Faces of Fossil Fuel." And with this panel, what we're doing is honoring community activists that have been fighting the fossil fuel industry in other parts of the country and bridging and building relationships with people that are doing community members and activists here that are fighting a similar battle. So we've got some really awesome activists that have been fighting like the tar sands fight that's been going on, fracking fight in other parts of the country. And you know, the coal mountaintop removal fights that have happened, people are going to be here. And so we've got the Keepers of the Mountain leader, a person named Paul Corbett Brown, who's going to be here. Aria Doe from the Action Center, who is somebody who was really risen up as an amazing leader and activist. That whose community was devastated by Hurricane Sandy. So we're building relationships with people who have fought that in, you know, the injustices that happen whenever there's a so-called natural disaster that happens, and how and the, you know, how can we unite and in strength and fight for people who are left on the fringe and people who are becoming climate refugees. And Josh Fox will also be on that panel.
Josh Fox, the director of Gasland.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Margie Vicnair Prey from the St. Tammany fracking fight is going to be on that panel as well.
Can I just interrupt for a second? The fracking issue, I think, is really important as well, because there are a lot of politicians that see fracking as green energy, or as what do they call it? Clean energy. So nuclear power and natural gas, which is produced by fracking, I've been hearing it from Mary Landrieu. I heard it from Hillary Clinton. I hear it from a lot of different politicians. This idea that it's clean, and it's not clean, right? It emits methane emissions, which is even more detrimental in some cases than CO2, is my understanding. You probably know more about that than I do. Fracking can, you know, there's all kinds of earthquake. I mean, Oklahoma having a plethora of earthquakes happening around fracking sites, which is being attributed to fracking. You know, I don't even want to go into nuclear energy, but, you know, how do you dispose of radioactive waste? So there's this, you know, there's all this idea that we can just sort of continue to produce fossil fuels in a clean way, which is just a myth. And what we need is renewable energy, and what we need is a shift. If we really want clean energy, there's a, you know, we have all the sun in the world, we have all the wind in the world, we have down in Louisiana all the water in the world. There's geothermal, there's ways of producing energy that are totally non-impactful or negatively impactful. So and it'd be really great if we could see that shift happen here.
We have the engineers, and we have the know-how, we have the workers, we have the companies in Louisiana to start doing that in Louisiana. Right now, all those folks are in Rhode Island or wherever. There's Jerome Ringo. He's building solar power in West Africa. He's from Lake Charles, Louisiana. He's operating a very successful company building utility scale solar, but not in Louisiana.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, we need to train people. But we also have
retrain people from. I mean, there's no reason. This another myth. The idea that well, Louisiana, the oil and gas industry brings billions of dollars in to create jobs that we, you know, people in New Orleans could be transported to and from these jobs and so on. And that's how we're going to, you know, build our middle class. But, you know, people can be retrained. People are retrained all the time to, you know, to participate in cleaner forms of energy building. So there's these myths that are perpetuated on us all the time, and we just kind of don't do anything even though we know about it. So this is a real opportunity where we can sort of pick up our swords and do something about it to change our world, to change the world for, you know, our children coming up after us, and to preserve Louisiana, what's left of it. You know, the harm that's already been done is it's nauseous. I mean, it's obscene, really, and not necessary. So, I'm excited about this weekend, and definitely going to check out a lot of these events. Yeah. I see some familiar names on here as well. So
And then on the afternoon of Monday.
And the website, by the way, is www.indigena.org, and you can go to Lifelines to check out the calendar. It's INDIGENA. And go ahead, Jonathan Henderson here from Gulf Restoration Network, and now filmmaker.
Well, I'm working on it. You know, I spent so much time documenting footage. I got to, you know, make something with it. You know, we put it out as much as possible to the media and on blogs and websites and stuff. But environmental watchdog is kind of environmental advocacy, watchdogging, and journalism is kind of what Vanishing Earth is all about. But
that's Sunday. We got the fracking death cycle, all the impacts of fracking from around the country on Monday. What else is on Monday?
Yeah, on Monday, there's an environmental justice panel. We have so many, and I hate to label our communities EJ communities, but you know that I just hate labeling our communities anything that has sort of a negative connotation. But it's what they are; it's the reality. So we've got Maria Harmon, who is from Mossville, Louisiana, who will be talking about, which is a community that has just been wrecked by oil refineries in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Mossville is just outside of Lake Charles, so she'll be here. We've got one of the unsung heroes in environmental justice battles, Daryl Malik Wiley, with the New Orleans chapter of the Sierra Club, will be on that panel as well. And Robert Green Sr. from the Lower Ninth Ward, and somebody from St. Rose, Louisiana, which is another community that's just been wrecked. It's right in the heart of Cancer Alley. And then Chuck Perkins, who is with Cafe Istanbul, mm-hmm. is also a well-known spoken
word. Right, many of our listeners will be familiar with Chuck Perkins because he does a lot of spoken word stuff, and he's been involved with different funk and R&B and music for years and years and years.
And so he'll be giving us some spoken word throughout the weekend. It's great.
And then Tuesday is...
Yeah, on Tuesday, we've got just such a critical, coming together. Women and water, protection of lifelines is sort of the theme. You know, we're losing a lot of women activists around the world, and especially indigenous women activists, they're being assassinated. They're being killed, and so they need protection, and they need to feel love and protection and support. It's amazing. You know, it's humbling, especially me and Scott sitting here as two men who are in this fight. I mean, really, it's awe-inspiring.
Two very cool men.
Well, thanks, but it's awe-inspiring how
some men are cooler than some women.
But women are in the lead, just like environmental justice is a thing, and we can't really get at some of these issues with the environment if we don't think about and tackle racism, and that's the environmental justice. Sexism is a thing too. A lot of our environmental leaders on the Gulf Coast in Louisiana are people of color, Native people, Black people, and a lot of our environmental leaders on the Gulf Coast in Louisiana are women. And I think this day is, and this time is about acknowledging that and giving them the time to speak about that specifically. So is that Sheree speaking?
Yeah, Sheree Foytland from Rain, Louisiana. Mary Ellen Baker's the Water Walker. Monique Verdin from the United Homa Nation, who has a film called My Louisiana Love that is just really amazing film that kind of puts a wrap around her community struggle in St. Bernard Parish. And Jane Klebb from Bold, Nebraska, who was just such an amazing warrior in fighting to block the Keystone Pipeline from getting rammed down their throats.
I can't wait to hear her talk. I'm from Alberta originally, and so I know I sort of went from Calgary, Alberta to New Orleans, Louisiana, so I've sort of from one end of the pipeline to the other, and I've been fighting it at both ends. But we don't have very much time left. I just want to commend everyone on this conference as well. I mean, or this event, I suppose, not a conference, but it's an incredible amount of energy and work that's gone into this. It must have taken months and months of planning. And
I wish we had months and months of planning.
Well, it looks like you did, so an appearance is mean everything, right? Perception is 98% of success or something. But and then this is all going to culminate in the March 23rd Wrap Around the Dome, inviting the whole nation and the world really to participate in helping Louisiana to save ourselves, but also the impacts that it has on the rest of the nation and the world. What in the last few minutes that we have would you like listeners to know?
Well, there was one more event that's part of this programming on Tuesday evening called 50 Years of Gulf Resistance at the Joy Theater, and it's also free, open to the public. There'll be a little bit of music, but this is an event where we want to honor, recognize our elders, and it's not just for our elders, but you know, tribal elders or social justice elders, civil rights elders. We really want people to know that there's been a tremendous amount of personal sacrifice, and an overwhelming amount of dedication from people in the Gulf region that you know really deserve a lot more recognition than they've received, because people don't think that we're fighting down here, but the problem is the people that are fighting down here have been so busy fighting, you know, we barely have time to come up for water, you know, to breathe.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. So that event kind of culminates the programs leading up. There's two other very important things, because the March 23rd Superdome action is a nonviolent direct action as well. Not everybody is expected to risk being arrested at this event. So let's make that really clear. Not everybody is expected to or will be put in that position. But some people are, because that's part of what's needed. And so there's two really important trainings that are going to be taking place. And you can go to nonewleases.org to get the information about those trainings. One's on Sunday and one is on Tuesday. And so we'll have a representative from Greenpeace who's done a lot of nonviolent direct actions to help lead those trainings. We've got legal support from Bill Quigley from Loyola University. At the Superdome action on March 23rd, the plan is to meet at Duncan Plaza, which is three blocks away, right in front of City Hall, at 7 a.m. I know it's early, but this is the time. This is the time that...
But for New Orleanians, they may already still be up. And
it's true. So come on out.
Right.
Come on out. But you know what? It's very frustrating, you know, because to me personally, and I'm just going to say this, is that I see, you know, and talk to people all the time throughout the city. You know, I'm from New Orleans, and I'm really embedded in the community, and I see, like, during Mardi Gras, I see, like, parades like Crew de Vue or Crew d'Illusions or Chewbacca's or whatever one it is, where they have like people who are got environmental themes on their floats and their crews and stuff like that. And it's not just the Mardi Gras crews, it's like, you know, students and, just there's a lot of progressive, this is a big progressive community in New Orleans. But, you know, what we do well in New Orleans is come out for second lines and parades and things like that. But this is a moment, a historical moment in time. And there's no excuses. If you have, if you can take off a little bit of time from work and come out and join us in the morning, it's one day out of your life. We need you now. We need you now. This is not, I support you. I believe in these causes. And when I see you at a bar, I'm going to talk to you ad nauseum about it. You know, no, this is show up on Tuesday morning. Join us. We need you. Because if we if people don't come out, it just it sends the wrong message.
Well,
and
also, this is the biggest parade you got, baby. It'll be Wednesday, March 23rd.
And if you enjoy parades, you really want to attend this event, because if we lose the coast, your parades are you're going to lose your parades.
It's
with the coast.
Parade to keep the parade.
And there's some really great art building going on. There's a new collective called Radical Healing and Arts Collective. That has, you know, been working really hard to build some good banners and signage and stuff for this day of action. And we've also got busloads of people coming from key cities all across the Gulf Coast that are coming. So we need our own people to show up. So that is, to me, one of the most important things, is that this is about, you know, taking a stand. And it's really time for people to, you know, if you believe in this fight, if you think that, you know, if you love New Orleans, you love our culture, you love our food, you love our history, you love our traditions, and you want to stay here and you want to keep seeing it happen, you need to show up on Wednesday morning. Thank you.
I will be there. And one more time before you run, how do people contact you for more information? Where do they go for more information?
NoNewLeases.org.
NoNewLeases.org. Got it. Thank you so much for spending